Let's look at Scripture. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2 this morning. This is the Advent drives what we preach about. This is my 18th year. And Advent always is a challenge because, and it's a good, Advent's a good deal. I love Advent. It categorizes and kind of corrals us on the what everybody else is wondering about. Some of us here are 60, 70 years old. In my 69 years, I tell you, I know that I am surrounded in this year by a different world than I was when I was a high school teenager in a Presbyterian church up in Jacksonville. I know the difference as a businessman working for almost 20 years. I know the world is different than it was even that short amount of time ago. Remember that computer, all the stuff we do with computers, what's the date that Windows sold its first version? Anybody know? I believe it was 1992. 91, 92, the beginning of the 90s. How many years ago is that? Not many. And that has had a power. That has been an educating power that is spread throughout the land to the point where people don't think very clearly, or it's amazing. So Advent's a good idea because Advent sort of just kind of settles us into something that will help us educate everybody else, as well as you and I educating ourselves. And tonight, or today, the most frequent and visual of the appearance of the angels to the shepherds is what we typically see in movies and other video kinds of things. And as you think about that, any movie you've ever seen on this subject, is it true that what the shepherds are pictured as terrified guys laying on the ground, down the great art, is down, they're down on the ground like this, and Raphael, the big angel, or whoever it is, Gabriel, the archangel's above them, and they're kind of laying around on the ground. And that's what I find talking to people is to be the sort of what they think about. And that's there. I mean, that's no doubt there. It's right there. They were, it says, sore afraid. There's a little three-word thing in the Greek there that says they feared a great fear, megaphobia. You don't even know Greek, but you know what that means. They were. I can't remember some of the old ways I used to describe being afraid. They were frightened. And well, they might have been. Well, they should have been. Everybody who's ever had that kind of an experience, that's what happens to them throughout the Bible. The reality of that appearance is as true in its possibility of this moment right now in your life as it was to those poor guys in those fields outside Bethlehem. Do you understand that? When you read this text, do you understand that same exact thing could happen to your and my senses right this minute? That, in short, is normal to the creation as it is. The Bible's stories about angels are not just something that happened way back then and even as a possibility. Back then, people believed things like that and they had to come up with a reason for that. No. What you're seeing, first of all, in this story about the shepherds is the grim reality for some people in the future, because when this all kind of thing happens again, it says the skies will split, the trumpet of God will sound, and the Son of God will descend with His holy angels. These guys in this text are going to be there with Him, just like they were there with Him the night of His birth. Now, having said that, I now want to move to read the text to you, with you. Turn to Luke, please, chapter 2, if you're there. Ready? Get ready to read. Verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Close quote. And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. God help us as we briefly look at this morning, at this, about the shepherds. In Christ's name, amen. Did you notice how much of the description had to do with, on the one hand, their fear, awestruck amazement, and how much had to do with their rationality, their curiosity, and their willingness to be led by God deeper into the significance of that experience? If you focus on the shepherd during this time, the first thing, as I said earlier, you notice that they were sore afraid. Phobon mega. I mean, it's a three-word conjunction that means they were freaked out. And everybody in the Bible who's ever had this happen knows it's true. The pictures we hear told about angels today in the popular, you know, literature don't look like anything like this. It's amazing to me. Every angel in the Bible is somebody that throws the person whom he's appearing to or she's appearing to into a state of fearful contemplation of their doom. Or just fear at the utter, this is crazy. Oh no, for me. The Bible's view is very different. It's just exactly what it was. But, you know, it may be that at that moment their response was, "God is here, everybody run and hide," naturally. Because remember, you saw the words there, the glory came and the glory of the Lord was present. There was the thing about the angels first, but the thing that overwhelmed them in addition to that is the glory of the Lord. He was there. Yahweh, the God of Israel, was there. That vanguard in the song, one of the songs we sang about this vanguard of angels, Jesus is at that moment entering created reality as a baby. He'd been around for a while, hadn't he? Like 9 months. He was present in Mary's womb when she went to see her cousin Elizabeth in the third month. And what happens when the two pregnant ladies get together? The baby over here in Elizabeth leaps for joy at the presence of his Savior. He was going to be the forerunner of this whole operation, and the two babies were together here. So the Lord has been around in the creation, in development, capital D, you know, for 9 months. The angel has said to Mary, "Mary, you're going to get pregnant." He didn't say, "You're going to have a baby," and all of a sudden, poop, she had the baby. "You're going to get pregnant. God is going to make you pregnant." And so the person of our Lord Jesus Christ had been in existence for 9 months. Little zygote, First two cells, then a bunch of cells, and then a bunch more cells. A little smiley face, you know, a little heart beating. All the things that people try to kill today. Thank God abortion wasn't true then. I'd like to have seen somebody go up inside Mary's womb and try and kill him. I don't think it would have gotten very far. But he'd been around for 9 months. And the display of him was going to come at the point of his birth. And so the antidote for their fear at this point is the good news. You see there in verse 10, "Do not be afraid," the angel says. "I bring you good news." Good news is good information. It's not he could have walked up and said, "Oh, here's a drink. Have a drink." Or he could have said, "How'd you like that great experience of being in our presence? Wasn't that cool?" You know, and then send him on his way. No, he had some information, some news he wanted to give them. "Do not be afraid. I, crazy looking though I am, threatening of your life though I am, I'm here to tell you something for your ear gate that's going to make it way, by way, accompanied with all the other stuff, into your brain, where I expect you to think about it. And it's a good news of a great joy." Good news of a great joy. I met Christians that, I swear to you, after being around them for 5 or 10 years, I don't think they ever know the gospel because there's no joy in their lives. Honest to goodness, really. Well, here, the euangelion, the word we use for gospel, gospel comes from two Greek words thrown together, good news, good angelion message. And the good message is of great joy. And that it's going to be for all the people. Now, the Jewish shepherd would have said that meant what? The Jewish people. The covenant people of God. Those whom were sitting around here waiting for everything God had ever said about the great servant that the ladies and I have been studying on Tuesday morning. The great suffering servant that was going to come into the world. That was the antidote to their fear. Was good news, great joy, and something that was going to be for everybody in the covenant nation. So they must have at this point, if you could stop the tape right now and walk up with the microphone and say to the shepherd, "What are you thinking about right now?" And they were processing this, and they would have processed it just like I told you. They were been waiting. All right, tell us what the good news is that's going to bring the great joy that's going to be for all the people. Tell me about it. Let me know. What is it? And the angel continues, verse 11, "Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Really? I mean, not a Red Sea opening up? Not the death of 200,000 Assyrians outside of Jerusalem, or, you know, not something like that? Not the destruction of all the evil in the world, you know. Not, wait a minute, can't we be a little more practical here? How about getting rid of the Romans? How about taking care of my bum lumbago leg or my bad eye or this kind of stuff? There's all kinds of things that would have been really good news to you. But here, if you shut it off after the word Lord, there's a baby somewhere in Bethlehem. And the baby is Christ, Messiah. Messages all around here. The baby is Christ, the Messiah. They've been waiting for a king to come and deliver Israel for the previous hundreds and hundreds of years, 1,000 years. And he doesn't wait. Remember, this could have come off very quietly. Mary could have been born. Jesus could have been born. And then the whole thing would have... They go back to his house in Nazareth. And after 30 years, the day that he came down and John the Baptist baptized him, and God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." That could have been the big rollout of the great joy that will be for all people. Right? Could have been 30 years later. But it's not. God puts a baby in a manger and says of him, "That's me." That's God. The Lord. Remember earlier it says the glory of the Lord shone around about them? An angel of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, and now they're being told that all of what they just experienced is laying in a manger. Maybe a mile away. "This will be a sign to you." They could have stopped there, but he doesn't. "This will be a sign to you." Here's the sign. A little firstborn baby wrapped up in cloths, in swaddling clothes. Please, can we get that back into the English language, right? Well, that's what we all know it by. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Now, if you're sitting there waiting for the salvation of the world, you're being asked to exercise some faith now, aren't you? Good news, great joy, a Savior, Christ the Lord, it's a baby wrapped up in cloth so that when he poops, we can manage that. So he cannot be cold. So he can be nursed because he can't feed himself. That to me at this point is the one the shepherds were sitting there saying, the sign of all this is a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And that's Christ, and he's Christ the Lord. Their response to that? Their response to that was they discussed the only option that was on the table at that point. Right? It says, when the angel went away, the shepherds said to one another, verse 15, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." A simple, rational conclusion to what the angel said. There's something to see there, and it's a baby. You can wonder some of them saying, "A baby? What's the big deal?" These were not, Hannah read the story of what the baby was, remember? What the shepherds were, kind of lowbrows and all that. The address of the angels to these guys indicates they weren't just lowbrows. The singular verb you, ye, occur, you, not ye, occurs throughout this. He's talking, unto you, the shepherd sitting there, unto you is born a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. It was an immediate personal connection with each one of them. And so, if that's true, I don't care if he's a baby or 50 years old, let's go see him. We got to go see him. We have to do that. And they did. They hurried, it says. It's very clear that they understood it. They were going to see what the angel said was the sign. And the sign was, I repeat this, the sign was a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Not a baby healing everybody. Not a baby changing the world, telling the sun where to go, or anything like that. A baby. That's all they saw. And that baby was the Christ, the Son of the living God. The God, the Son, in human flesh. Doesn't say much about what they... Doesn't say they knelt around the bed, you know, playing with the kid. You know, they don't say any of that. And then they went away. And they talk to everybody about what they've sinned. When they had seen him, verse 17, they spread the word concerning what the shepherds had said to them. So imagine, they walked into the bar, walked into the roadhouse, walked into their wife's place or whatever, and said, let me tell you what happened here. We were out there, you got to see, and then he goes through the whole thing, and God gave us a sign that all this was true, and sure enough, we found the sign. And she's saying, what's the sign? There's a baby down the street in a crib in a manger someplace, and that's Christ the Lord. How impressive would that be to someone who didn't have the angelic vision, who did not see the baby? That wouldn't have been impressive at all, would it? But they enthusiastically went and did as they were told and talked about where salvation was at that moment in time. The Lord told us about this. And they spread all over their hometown what had been told them about the child. What had been told them about the child. A Jew walking into his friend's house. There's a baby over there in the stable, and it's the Messiah, the King of Israel, God Himself. What do you think that got out of the people He told that to? Huh? Just dream on that for a minute. They went back to their labors after that and their normal life, provoking great amazement, no doubt, to anybody who would have asked them what happened that night. But there's no more mention of the shepherds, including during the Lord's 3-year ministry 30 years later. There's no thing where somebody walks in the synagogue and says, I knew this was going to succeed. They're gone. What does it mean for us, maybe? May I ask you, do you know how hard it was for a Jewish shepherd to walk into his family's house and claim that he had just seen the Messiah, God Almighty in human flesh, in a baby? Do you think a bunch of people believed him? They didn't even believe Jesus when he raised Lazarus from the dead. They thought it was a trick. Human beings are by definition skeptical. They don't believe anything. And the more educated they are, the more likely they are to not believe anything that is attached with a Christian story here. But the shepherds, equipped with the good news, did exactly what God had told them to do. And the beginning of their message was, there's a baby on the earth in swaddling clothes in a manger, and he is Christ the Lord. What does our good news sound like when we go to people with good news? Some people don't want to talk about the virgin birth. Some people don't want to talk about the miraculous. Some people don't want to talk about the angels. I've had people tell me they're not going to do that. That it has to be approached more on a philosophical level. Let's get into ethics and the evil of the society and civilization. Can I say something to you right now? In the next week, can you just get your nerve up to do just what the shepherds did? The whole world's talking about Christmas right now. Can we leave the creation of the world alone for this next couple weeks? It was sufficient to God to introduce the whole subject of Jesus Christ to the generation in which he was born by sending a bunch of shepherds around to talk about his birth. That he was a baby laying in a womb. That he grew up. That the assumption is that he's a baby is going to be an adult someday. We believe that God Almighty assumed human flesh by way of a baby being born and, you know, coming out of the womb of a virgin. That's the Christmas story. The fact that we're ashamed of that too frequently in our conversations at Christmas is not a good testimony to what we say we believe about the Bible. And it's simple to talk about Mary having a baby, isn't it? What are you guys celebrating about with that tree down there, Ganzel? Well, let me just tell you what happened. And just tell it like it is. You don't have to go to the cross yet. If somebody asks you a question about what's going on here, you should tell them, we believe in a God-man who was born of a woman, who was the king of the earth, and who was on his way to do something else. But it all started, where the visuals are concerned, with him coming out of his mother's womb and being put in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, cooing and crying and all the other stuff babies do, and a bunch of shepherds standing there who were the first witness to this. God explained it to them, and that's what happened. That's what Christmas is all about. You get the same reaction as the people reacted to the shepherds too. But in our day, that simple message, you don't have to get into the deity of Christ. You don't have to get into all the possibilities or impossibilities. Don't do that. Just be someone who stands up and talks about the facts like the shepherds did. It hit these facts. You know why you should do it? It's because God's Word says the facts of His birth are good news. A sign that accompanies God's good intentions for the human race. And having a baby is something anybody can understand. And if they walk away from your conversation saying, Jesus entered the world as a baby, being born after 9 months, in a manger, and the angels were there and all these other things, you've put something in somebody's mind that the next time they see a child, the next time they hear about somebody getting pregnant, the next time they talk about abortion, anything that has to do with babies and children, they're going to say, well, Jesus was born as a baby. What most people think about when they think about Jesus is this full-blown guy giving the Sermon on the Mount, pronouncing unintelligibly complex moral issues. You don't have to start there. Everybody can be just as intelligent as the shepherds who took that night and the next days, we were led to believe, talking about the events of the birth of Jesus Christ. They're important. They are, as the angel said, the good news. Doesn't that take you off the hook? Every contact we have with people does not need to be the entirety of the gospel story. And so here we are in the midst of the Christmas season, and the issue is not Easter and the resurrection, all the time. The issue is that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and He gave Him by way of Mary giving birth to Him who was a virgin, and He grew up for 30 years before He ever entered all His ministry. You see, that's how it starts. And you have to say nothing more. But I guarantee you, when you do that, when I've done that, they want to talk more. Oh, that's impossible. Well, I know you think so, but the historical record of the event is what I just shared with you, and you can question that all you want to. Oh, nobody gives, well, I agree with it. Nobody's ever gotten pregnant by God before or after, since. We're talking about Jesus Christ. You can start the discussion from any way, but right now, all you have to do is bear testimony to the birth of your Savior in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, which was good news. It was the start of God's plan to redeem for Himself a people who are His own possession. That makes sense to you? Provoke their curiosity. Provoke their confusion. Provoke their uncertainty. Provoke their gross ignorance these days of anything about these things. It'll lead you to talk about something other than giving and being rich and all the materialism and all that other stuff that is such a dead-end thing to get involved with. Just they'll see somebody who, like the shepherds, are absolutely amazed by the redeeming work of their God, beginning with the fact that their Savior was born as a little baby in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, and that you embrace that with all of your heart. It's precious to you. He was a man who came in the world bearing a body that would one day hang on a tree and therein see all of my sins paid for. Yes. But start with the only thing the shepherds had to go on. A baby this day is born to you in Bethlehem. He is Christ the Lord. If you can wrap all that up in your message today, you'll be doing good. And you'll be telling most of your friends something, trust me, they know almost nothing about. Your comfort with it, your love of the story, is going to mean something to them that'll lead to more related to the gospel. Guarantee it. Get excited at Christmas about what the shepherds were excited about, based upon which it says they glorified and praised God for the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. Father, help us as we maybe enter into this Christmas season in the next 2 weeks again, falling in love again with the basic facts that the gospel that Luke preserves, that Mary pondered in her heart. Help us to do that very thing and have the enthusiasm of the shepherds about what we're celebrating in these couple of weeks. God Almighty's birth in the person of the Son of God in Jesus Christ, that He might grow up for 30 years and then die on a cross for our sins, but that it all began with a little woman giving birth one night to a baby who was distinguished as being at His birth, Christ, the Lord, the covenant head of His people, come to bring salvation to them. God, help us do that. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.